Episode 472, March 23rd, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I got with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and that's it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Dude, I'm a sneeze, hold on.
Nice. Welcome to the Rob and Joe Show. We can't be stopped, folks, although we're not together. I'm in my house. I'm not next to you, Joe, which we foreshadowed last week.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's weird how far we've come. It's like we both used to broadcast over Skype, and so we both used to sound like you sound right now, right? That's what we used to sound like. And then now we're like, oh my God, one person can't be on Skype. It's fine, right? I hear you fine. You sound great.
I think people will understand that it's not going to be the impeccable quality that they've gotten used to here at the Rob.
They've grown accustomed to.
Exactly. Yes. That's a little tongue-in-cheek nod at our lack of consistent quality. Although we do try our best. But hey, thanks for tuning in. I mean, what else you got to do? Nothing. Huge shout out. Two big birthdays today. Today being March 23rd, the legendary Jim Amato, the super producer, the producer of the Nicky Diamond Show, and also happy birthday to Robbie's cat.
Did you go in order of importance?
I mean, it's a close tie. Who's more important? I know Jim is more important to Joe and I than Robbie's cat. I'm guessing Robbie differs.
Robbie's cat is 14.
What is that here, in cat years?
What is the same thing? Seven. That's like 98, right? 7 years for a year. It says, Jim Amato says in chat, I see Rob Mayer couldn't post anything. Joe couldn't tweet. Oh, well. So then, now he says, fuck you, Joe. No. When I said in order of importance, I didn't say Robbie's cat was more important than Jim. I didn't say that.
Rob did post as Rob and Joe Show.
Yeah, Jim. Well, how do you know Rob did that? I could have done that.
It was Facebook, Joe.
We posted as the Rob and Joe Show. We posted. As a collective, Rob called me, I called you, we all decided that that'd be the best place to wish him happy birthday.
Yeah, we all worked together on that happy birthday to the legendary Jim Amato. It took us six or seven drafts to come up with that gem.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Rob. So, you know, I've been working from home. I worked from home all last week and from Thursday the prior week. So I've been home Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I've been home 12 straight days, okay? So when I wake up today, I woke up. I put on a sweatshirt and a pair of jeans, and I walked into the other room, didn't brush my teeth, didn't shower, and I've been working ever since. As soon as that work ended, I started doing the show. I'm still sitting here in the same sweatshirt, in the same, not my teeth have not been brushed yet. It's what I plan on doing. Okay. Now, your life is much like what my life is when I work from home, right? I mean, your work, if you're writing anything or you're doing anything having to do with comedy, it happens from your house until it's time to go out. Every day when you wake up,
correct.
Do you shower?
I never shower right away unless I'm going out right away. I'll usually shower before Tawanda gets home, although that's 50-50. She usually gets home around 2:45, 3 p.m.
So pretty
much she has not been at work the last over the weekend showering. And then Thursday, Friday. All but right. I haven't showered yet today. But I am brushing my teeth and washing my face. But I'm wearing the same clothes that I wore since I showered yesterday.
You know, every night Katie washes her face. The only time I ever wash my face is when I'm in the shower. And every time I wash it, it's just a shampoo running down into my face and me just, you know, aggressively running my hands over it. That's how I wash my face. I do it once a day when I shower.
I feel like you should have graduated to a face wash by now. You're 51 years old. I think it's time.
No. I mean, it's tough for me to now have new habits. That's why I struggle even using my CPAP because, you know, I'm 51, just starting these new things. But I guess my habit is every morning waking up and showering. And today, I just didn't do that. I feel disgusting, too.
Well, I mean, showering is one thing because that requires a little more time. It also requires you to then put on new clothes. But the brushing of the teeth, I know you brush your teeth in the shower, but you can't break that habit and just brush your teeth like a normal person in the sink.
And I do that at night. Not every night, by the way, but I do it some nights. But no, I just really haven't had time. I mean, today's been a fucking, you know, black diamond straight, you know, downhill until, literally still going on, right? My day job. So I'm sure most people are like that, trying to make sure that their whole staff who works from an office can just start working from home. It's hard to do.
Well, let's go around here and let's say, give us where your thoughts and where we are into this crisis. Do you feel better than last week? Worse? Is there hope in sight, or are you just clueless? Joe, you want to go?
Sure, I'll go first. I'm the same. Listen, this is how I feel about it. This is something that's highly contagious that most likely won't kill me or kill you or kill anybody, but you don't want to get it, and you certainly don't want to get it and give it to anybody else. So they have to try to contain this thing. How do I feel? I feel no different. When there was one case or eight cases, when they were talking about the trajectory of it, I go, all right, well, I just won't go out because I don't have to. And, you know, I mean, you were over here last Monday. I've seen Erica, my friend Erica. Other than that, it's basically just been Katie and I. Our friend Kristen, too. I mean, but just we've seen one person that she also works with, Kristen, so you know, if you're exposed, you were exposed or whatever. But that's it. I haven't really, when I talk to my neighbors, I have the dog leash on me. So I stand the distance of the dog leash, which is 10 feet away from them when I talk to them. You know, I text people. That's, you know, I'm just going to do that until this thing plateaus or starts, you know, going downhill.
Robbie, your thoughts?
Shopping is like a treasure hunt. It's kind of fun and kind of annoying at the same time. And I'm fully automated now. I can do most everything from home now, and I'm kind of enjoying it. Like Joe said, I did brush my teeth today, but I did it right before the show.
Hey, just, I know you're going to tell your story, Rob, but I mean, has your life really been affected that much? I mean, I'm sorry, your day. Has your day been affected that much?
No, I'm totally fine with the quarantine aspect. I mean, obviously I would go out more than I have, and I would go to like shows like open mics and things that aren't necessary. And I've been shopping more. You know, I usually shop a little at a time as opposed to getting a lot and then not shopping again for 2 weeks.
Right.
So that's changed. I did go to the store. I went to four stores yesterday, actually. But other than that, I've been in 3-4 days in a row. The quarantine itself is not bothering me. I'm sure it will at some point. You know, it's not that hard. I'm in a house. There's room. I've got a neighborhood to walk around in. Obviously, there's the internet and Netflix and cable and all these, you know, there's no sports on, but there's still a lot of things to watch, which we'll get to. It's the uncertainty of the future is the thing that bothers me. I mean, I keep kind of going back and forth day by day, negative, positive. I mean, I guess a week ago at this time, I thought there'd be a lot more deaths than a week out, because a week later than we've had, knock on wood, because people were forecasting, you know, some horrible things. So I feel probably a little bit better on that front. I might feel worse on the economy front, because I guess it more and more things keep getting shut down. And, you know, now that the Olympics today, they moved that to 2021, you know, and that's as big of an event as we, that's the biggest event the world does is the Olympics.
Yeah.
And that's being moved.
I'm fine with the Olympics getting canceled altogether.
Okay. Well,
I mean,
I'm not going to cancel, but you got to remember people.
Look, if sports picks back up in the summer, where we don't normally have basketball and hockey playoffs, then I think the Olympics is probably wise. They don't want to compete with that. They're usually on when there's not a lot on, just the middle of the baseball season. So there's probably an economic reason for that too. And people aren't going to be traveling, so it makes sense. But I had one day this week where I was thinking, if this gets really bad, like, it's not just can I do comedy more? Will people want to laugh? Can I make fun of the stupid shit that I make fun of? Or is it people are going to be like, dude, we have real problems? And then I got over that and realized people are always going to want to laugh. But that did occur to me. I was like, is my career done?
Well, you know,
is there going to be space for people to want to go out and laugh at me joking about my girlfriend, dumb shit, and being afraid of marriage, things that aren't real, as opposed to, you know, when someone had 9 of their family members die, is that... Or they laugh at silly shit.
Or their business failed or whatever. It's so funny. I mean,
yeah.
This thing I just heard about, the stimulus package can't be pushed through because one side is saying all they're trying to do is make sure that the big business is handled. The other people are saying they have all these dispositions in there for solar energy and wind. It's like, fuck it. Cut this shit out. Stop doing this, okay? You know, obviously, we need to have a world economy after this thing is over with. And, man, it really hit close to home when, you know, like the DC Improv and who knows what's going on with the Goobies, but how long can they be shut down before their business folds? Can you go a month without income? Can you have 1/12 of your income gone? Could you have 1/6 of your income gone? Right? You probably can't. So, because
once we get into the second month, it starts to become, you know, dicey. Every day it gets less probable.
Well, that's when people...
That's a business that is, as far as comedy clubs go, I can't imagine there was a more thriving club in the country.
Yeah, and, you know, and again, you think about it, they don't own the building, I assume. I assume they still have rent. They still have gas and electric. I mean, they still have taxes. They have to, you know, but people will... Everybody's going to have to tighten their belt. Everybody is. If people aren't willing to lose money while this goes on, you're right. The whole world economy is going to collapse. That has to be, you know, that people have to consider that. They have to consider, hey, they might be late getting their rent in until they get back on their feet. The people that don't get their rent, you know, it's a domino effect. Everybody's got to be understanding of basically what's going on, right?
Well, I have seen people, and this is something I've started to get concerned with, is at what point is shutting down the economy and closing everything, does the effect from that become worse than whatever the effect would be from a lot of people getting this disease?
I've been reading people like, oh man, Hogan, just close everything. Do the right. Hey guys, there's a lot to fucking think about. You don't just fucking put everybody inside. There's still people have to be able to, once this is all said and done, you know, you can't start all the way back over from scratch. It doesn't work like that. You know, you can't have a bunch of businesses. You can't have half the country out of work. That can't happen. So, yes.
I'm hopeful that this week, all the manufacturing of these things that we need, masks and ventilators and these schools that are closing, can now, some of these spaces can be used for testing and all these things that we need to have done to avoid this. You know, there's 100 people going to the hospital and they can only treat 25.
Right.
If we can get past, if that problem is solved, then I'm hopeful that in this time next week, we'll start to see a light at the end of the tunnel where people are starting to go back. And if you're at a certain age, maybe you only can go to the store during this time. It's eased back into society. And we start opening comedy clubs, and as opposed to a packed house of 300, they have 150 and they spread you out. And we just sort of ease back into things.
You know, who's going to be just fine is Scott Apple.
Why is that?
Well, of course.
Because he doesn't have to go to an office and his wife's a doctor.
So you're right. Nothing is – his life has not changed at all. He has no effect on him whatsoever. We should probably call him.
Robbie, did you hear back from Michael Chamberlain?
I did not. His wife's birthday just happened, and I reached out to her, said happy birthday. And, hey, I said, we tried to reach Michael the other night, and he didn't reply to my text or anything. And she said, she said she would let him know.
I have, I'm a little proud of myself that I was able to put this CD together. I'm still waiting on the CD baby who, makes it go final and then available for download. And then once they'll send it off to iTunes and all the places and it can be downloaded on any platform.
Well, it's funny because
hopefully by the time you hear this, it'll be on cdbaby.com or shortly thereafter. But I'm kind of proud of myself that I was able to just, you know, use this lapel mic that I bought and this app on my phone, record this set, edit it. And other than the artwork that Robbie did, thank you very much, do this entire thing myself.
So do you know that Justin gave it a huge plug today on the radio? Do you know that?
And he texted me about that, and I didn't know that he talked on the radio, that there's a link they're giving for local business. So, I mean, I feel like once I get it out, which I was hopeful that they I would have gotten the word today, the 23rd, that it would be out. I have the release date set as March 24th, so it couldn't be out any earlier than that. But I was hoping that it would hit that point, but it's out of my control. So,
well, when I heard that,
I feel pretty good about people buying it. I mean, it's just a half. The thing I like about it is, I wasn't recording an album when this was just my set. So this is literally my set. There's some crowd work. I'm pitching my t-shirt. I mean, it's just a window. It's a total look into an exact Rob Mayer comedy set in packed house at the Columbus Funny Bone. So I think that kind of makes it interesting. Most of the material has never been released. There's a few jokes that are on other stuff, but this is 95%, new shit. So I think people are going to like it, and it allows me to later in the year to release a full album with everything is new, not a single repeat joke, obviously, like you would with any other album. And I think that still allows me to do this.
Send me a couple clips, Rob. I'll put an ad together for the show since we can't run any murder mystery ads right now.
Yeah.
I'll totally do that.
I was worried when I heard that thing from Justin that I was like, I thought he might have jumped the gun, right? Because I thought people would go to try to consume it and then they wouldn't get to it. So yeah, reach back out to Justin and say, hey man, I appreciate it. Can you give me one more after it's released? I'll bet he'll do that.
Hey, if they go to look for something and they find my old CDs and download those, that also helps. So I'll definitely be keeping everyone posted on that, because the cool thing about that is it's, most of the income. I don't have some production company or some publishing, if you buy it on CD Baby, it's, $9. So the $9.99 goes to me. You buy it on iTunes, $7.77. So it's lion's share goes directly to me.
So sorry, I keep interrupting you because, we're not in the same room and I forgot what this was like before. But Robbie, any chance we can call Scott Apple?
Not with Rob on Skype.
If
I set it up a group call for them next week, we can do it.
Well, yeah. Now, right. I just wanted to know what he was doing, because you're right. His life is perfect. She's going into work.
It's like, yeah, perfect.
She has all the things that she needs. By the way, what she does, she's an anesthetician or whatever. She's the one who puts you to sleep. She's probably not real affected by what's going on right now. These people don't go into surgery, right? The people in the coronavirus, right? So she's over in some other wing, not affected by any of this. And then she goes home and Scott's been there preparing meals for her or whatever. Yeah, I mean, nothing has changed for this guy. His life's probably better as a result of it.
Bonus show is a couple of weeks away, but I do have an interesting story involving a visit to a medical facility for you.
Awesome. And I have an update on somebody I spoke about, a comic on the bonus show a couple months ago, that not the best of updates, but check out patreon.com. We have a new Patreon subscriber, and we'll get to that when we come back from the break. Because we have, coming back, a Gramps story. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Rob's new album is now available for download. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You say an hour. Foreplay. I know, I understand. He doesn't have that much foreplay in him. This guy, he's got like three moves. He fucking does them in reverse, and that's six, but it's really the same fucking move. You know what he's doing. Left to right, right to left. It's fucking, what's he? Yeah. He's drinking White Claw. He's giving up. I mean, the fucking guy is just giving up on life. He's stopped trying. It's like, he's like, do you have a cucumber, berry, grape, seltzer water with one calorie that if I drink 17, I can still drive legally? Do you have that? I'd like to get a bucket of that, please. Yes. You took a DNA test and you're 100% basic bitch, okay? They are good as shit, though. They're fucking tasty. All right. You can drive a school bus legally. It doesn't fucking matter.
All proceeds go to the Rob Mayer Relief Fund. Please visit robmayer.com for more info. The cheer you need is here, just in time. Comedy for the quarantine.
You could use the laughs. I could use the money.
The Rob and Joe Show.
My neighbors had a kid's birthday party. How irresponsible is that?
I mean, that's the easiest party to get out of if you're a parent and don't want to go.
Yeah.
So
but
my
they still had it.
My mother-in-law went to a bridal, a dress fitting, or a, you know, you go out to try to pick out your wedding dress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, are you seriously? You can't postpone this. So, but the person that's getting married, she's a nurse. So, you know, I mean, like, what are you doing? She's exposing everyone in her family. It's just, it was nuts to me. I was extremely surprised that that still took place.
You
I felt
say
bad
that,
for,
Joe, but
hold on
if
one second.
This had happened a year ago, I mean, you would have been in the thick of this with your wedding, you know, at the end of May.
That's true. I hear what you're saying, but I certainly wouldn't have said to Aunt Tish or to the Katie's mom or whatever. I would have said, hey, we're just going to have to do this without you because it's not safe right now. That's exactly what we would have done, 100%. We would not
I know that, but Katie would have been, I mean, she was already stressed like any bride would be. But, I mean, you threw this on that.
Well, we couldn't have done
it. Miserable couple months for you last year.
We would have had to postpone our wedding. And there's no way we couldn't have done it.
You think you would have at this point? I mean, I guess at the end of May, it's dicey.
I don't know. Maybe not the end of May. I don't know. But if this thing were any sooner than that, yeah, we would have had to have started, you know, we would have had to make some tough decisions at that point.
Well, as you know, Gramps sends me stories. We read them. And a couple weeks ago, I said we should have a sponsor for the Gramps story of the week, if we have that many. And our good friend, J.L. Covan, stepped up and is the new sponsor. Robbie, do you have some production for this?
And now, another titillating entry from the diary of everyone's favorite sexy septuagenarian, Gramps.
This segment brought to you by Making Podcasts Great Again, starring J.L. Covan as President Trump. Follow them on Twitter at TrumpPod and listen via all your favorite podcast platforms.
Fantastic. Well done. All right, here we go. Gramps' story. I emailed him for an update, so I don't have one yet, but maybe he'll respond in chat. I decided to stay out of town for a while and asked all of my clients to mail their premiums. Some didn't have cell phones, so I had to call them. One of them was my prom date's mom. When I called, it turned out that my prom date was in the background. When I told her that I wouldn't be coming for a while, she told her daughter, and there was loud talking in the background. Her mom told me her daughter was not going to be my fiancé anymore. She was dumping me. I told her my heart was broken. Her daughter then said, okay, she wasn't going to dump me, but I'd better get out to see her. With her mom in the conversation, she didn't offer me anything or discuss what I would want to do to her. I am waiting for Tex to see what she has to offer.
Oh, God. Hey. She's like, hey, but she still has to come out and see me. My father's in his 70s, okay? If he gets this, he won't survive. So this woman couldn't love him too much, or she'd be more careful with my father.
It's the worst way to get the coronavirus is Gramps going on a date with this his client's 22-year-old daughter.
Yes. He died doing what he loved, selling insurance to the underprivileged.
Hey, shout out to J.L. Covan's other podcast, the one we originally know him from, Righteous Prick. Good episode this week, and he got good shout outs to you and me, to my Rob and Joe. So thank you, J.L. We appreciate it.
What was it? What was he? Because I haven't listened yet.
Well, basically, last week you had mentioned that he doesn't do comedy anymore, or posed that question, and I said he does a few gigs here and there, and he said it was a sort of a realization to him that, wow, has comedy ghosted me? Has comedy just I didn't quit, but is it quit for me? And then we were both sort of right in that. And then he had another. If you're a comic, you know, it's somebody at my level, this would really speak to you, that we've seen a lot of comedians, you know, a lot of fundraisers for the wait staff at these clubs, which is, you know, DC Improv, Rob, Joe and I have contributed. But, you know, why don't these comedians, these headliners, why don't they ever stand up and, you know, demand that the feature act, which is the position I'm usually in on the show, going second of the three, you know, why aren't they being paid more? Because their pay has not been raised in, you know, 25 years. It actually was higher in the 80s, which is something that you think that they could make, they could do that, but nobody ever does. So we get sort of, you know, pinched here. But he made a good plea for that. So listen to it if you're a comic or you just want to understand this shitty business that is stand-up comedy for us little guys.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of little guys, Chris Restivo has a friend.
Hello.
Yeah, that Chris is always calling me on Facebook Messenger. I never answer. But he left this message. His friend did. And he was very upset.
What's up, man?
You guys needed Chris to make you fucking irrelevant in your dumbass radio station. That tells me your radio stations suck ass. So what you need to do is take a break from sucking the dick and start fucking working, you dumb fuck. You guys white people suck. Suck my dick, bitches.
I could French kiss Chris Restivo.
Well, yeah. Nice guy. So I responded, why does he want us to suck his dick? I guess he's gay, so you do have gay friends.
Okay. Chris won't like that. By the way, noted homophobe, Chris is.
It's a joke, dum-dum. You so not bright, no wonder why you got a shitty career. Shitty with one T. And he spells you like he's Prince.
Hey.
And then he goes, this is Chris' friend. C-H-R-I-S-S. No apostrophe. Right.
Well, he also said.
And then Chris says, my friend gets mad when you guys shit on me. But I told them they just mess around. They're good people. And then Chris sent me a screenshot from somebody messaging him saying, hey, man, if you're interested in doing stand-up at the club I work at, when things get back to normal, hit me up. You got great talent. Chris responds, possibly, I don't know yet. Like, what do you mean you don't know? You have nothing going on. He says, great work either way, buddy. And Chris says, to those who say I'm not funny, LMAO.
So do me a favor. Just play the beginning about the radio station. Can you just play? I want to hear what he says again about the radio station.
Okay. I don't know if I can fast forward here. But I'll
no, it's the very beginning of it. It's the very beginning of it.
You guys needed Chris to make you fucking irrelevant in your dumbass radio station. That tells me your radio stations suck ass.
Okay. That's all I wanted to hear. So basically what he's saying is, first of all, it's not a radio station, okay?
I know.
But he's right in that if we needed Chris to make this show relevant, then our show would suck ass. He's actually right about that. So
that's true, yes.
You couldn't really argue. His logic is fucking flawless. If our show depended on Chris to be relevant, then it would suck ass. 100% true. Now, what I don't agree with is that he said we need to stop sucking dicks and start working. Well, I'm working. I'm not sucking a dick. That's not true.
I've sucked zero dicks during this quarantine.
Never sucked a dick in my entire life that I can recall. I feel like I would remember something like that.
What percentage of people don't spell shitty correctly?
It's pretty, it's higher than you think.
I mean, that's not a particularly hard word to spell, correct? Everyone knows how to spell shit, right?
Right. And then T, right? The standard suffix.
I mean, anyway.
By the way, that guy,
Chris,
is representing himself as black, a black guy. Is that true?
I wouldn't speak to, he's representing himself as Chris's friend, which, I mean, that says it all right there.
Do you know that Chris texted me that he was half black? I have that. That he's half
Chris
black.
Is?
That's what he said. Because he's Sicilian. So he literally took what Dennis Hopper said in True Romance, and somehow he made that actual scientific fact. You follow what I'm saying?
I roll with the best.
I don't even believe that in this pretend, you know, soliloquy that he's insinuating that they're half black. He's not saying that. Half black? That's not what Dennis Hopper's saying. He's saying that there's, if you go back far enough, when the Moors invaded Sicily, There may have been some mixing of those two ethnicities, and that may have lent itself to some of the darker features. That's the insinuation. Not 50%. You immediately know when somebody's 50% black. You're not guessing.
Please.
That is from True Romance, a movie written by Quentin Tarantino. What's the Mount Rushmore of Quentin Tarantino movie scenes?
So, clearly, you got that one that we just had, right? The one we just talked about, okay?
My favorite of all time is Bruce Willis in the pawn shop after he leaves the basement.
But I don't think that's the biggest. I mean, there's a lot of big ones.
I love that scene.
You think it's bigger than in the coffee shop when he tells him to take his wallet out that says bad motherfucker? That's
no.
Okay, because I think like that's the mountaintop of that movie.
Well, there's so many great scenes.
There are.
But I agree with Joe. I think that ending scene is the best scene. Although the whole chase and then that whole sequence with Zed and all that. And Ving Rhames is pretty strong.
Yeah, no. Listen, we go on. What about when Christopher Walken comes in and tells that he held that watch up his ass for fucking 15 years? I mean, there's a lot of scenes. When Winston
Wolfe
comes.
What about the opening
scene
of Glengarry Glen Ross when Christopher Waltz comes to talk to that Frenchman who's got, you know, he's hiding Jews in his basement.
Now you're talking about Inglourious Bastards. Inglourious Bastards you're talking about. You say Glengarry Glen Ross. But, that's probably that's the biggest scene in that one. What's the biggest scene in Django Unchained? It's got to be when they're with Leonardo DiCaprio and they end up killing each other.
Yeah, I need to see that movie again. Actually, great movie, but it'd probably do for another viewing. Are we leaving out any of the Reservoir Dogs? We got the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
The Steeler's Wheel scene when the guy cuts his ear off.
Yeah, that is the biggest scene in that one.
Yeah.
And then in this newest one, is it when, probably the closing scene when fucking Brad Pitt just fucking wipes everybody out?
I think the closing scene is a 10 out of 10.
So yeah, that's probably it. Yeah.
I tweeted today the Mount Rushmore of Joe Exotic songs. I don't know if you guys have watched The Tiger King yet.
Yeah, we got to be careful.
But it's another brilliant documentary on Netflix.
Well, you know, JL, we've been bragging about McMillions. And, of course, you know, in standard fashion, JL, his first instinct is to not want to like it. Right? What are you making such a big deal about? Right? Did the same thing with Fleabag. I've never been more confident in any of them than this one. This thing is a fucking masterpiece. J.L. Covan is such a fucking troll. They did, you know what, it does remind me of King of Kong in that you have all these villains and they're real people. You couldn't write a better villain and they just do such a great job. But are you through it yet, Rob?
No, I'm in the middle. We'll finish either tonight
all right,
or tomorrow.
Then I don't, there's some things I definitely want to discuss.
My takeaway so far is that, and you sort of touched on it, you can't make up more fascinating, interesting, bizarre, crazy people in a movie or TV show than these actual real life people.
Oh, well, there's 400 million people in the U.S. There's amazing. Some of them are going to be like that. What episode are you on, just out of curiosity, Rob?
I can't remember if we finished 3 or 4.
Okay, so you still have some. There's
the last thing that happened. That new guy came on board with the guy that has the swinger with the Ferrari and the.
Oh, yes. Yes. Jeff.
Yeah. He just came on board the scene.
Okay. Well, you get to learn a little bit about Jeff. But all right, I won't give you any spoilers. There is something coming up. It's either in episode 5 or 6 where you see some security footage and you're going to be fucking blown away. So if you're not watching Tiger King, is it King Tiger or Tiger King?
I think it's Tiger King.
Tiger King, right. Because you thought the Lion King was a person. But Tiger... But the Tiger King is a person.
Yeah, see?
So maybe you're right. So Lion King is a lion, and Tiger King is a fucking redneck. I gotcha. But JL sent out a text saying who he thought should play the different characters. And I didn't love it. He always tries to throw Walton Goggins. He obviously loves Walton Goggins, and so do I. I love the Apostle. I love the Shield. He's awesome. But I don't see him. Who did he have him playing? Do you remember?
The Tiger King.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I thought that was. You said Paul Dano. I see that as well.
Yeah, I mean, they got to be. You got to be a little bit awkward. You can't be. I mean, maybe somebody can pull it off who's cool or whatever, but for the most part, you got to be, and you got to be skinny, right? Tall and skinny.
Everybody watch this, and then next week we'll try to cast this thing. Because I think, although, you know, we said this with McMillions, but, you know, why do you need to make a show? I mean, you can't really improve on it. I mean, did you ever think in your life you would get so excited about documentaries, Joe?
Well, we watch a lot of documentaries. So, I love myself.
10 years ago, did you? I mean, was that something that you were looking forward to, a new documentary?
No, not really.
Right. And now they're as good as anything that's on. Do you think, and the one guy touched on this, is there, I would imagine being around these animals, it has to change you, because there's nothing that powerful that you're ever around. It's like, it would be like us being around a superhero or something.
You know, oh yeah, if they turn on you, you're dead. Right. They can just eat you in 2 seconds. If they wanted to, you'd be dead. If they were enraged. Yeah, you couldn't survive an attack by one of them. It is interesting. They said, I read that thing where they said, you know, all these people from the PETA or whatever that are against these. I mean, and clearly they're breeding and selling these tigers. You know that's happening. But tigers ain't doing too great out there on their own. You know what I mean? I don't mind them. You know, let's make sure this species stays around. Yes, that'd be great if you could find some place on the Serengeti that could be untouched by human. But we can't control the whole world. We can barely control what's going on here. And lions and tigers don't live.
If you could have any animal in the world as a pet, and you have all the upkeep, the having a cage for it, all the money that goes into feeding it, none of that. That's all free. So that's not even an issue.
Okay.
And it will never harm you. Or anyone that you say to harm. What do you have?
Polar bear, right?
You're going to have a polar bear?
Oh, dude, a polar bear will fucking maul. There's nothing that's going to beat a polar bear.
Well, okay, but that's what you're looking for? It's just protection?
I don't know. I would like to have that shear, but then I also have to. You said there's no expense, but housing it is definitely an expense.
No. I'm just saying you have all that, but it's just somehow it's just free. You don't have to. Like the tigers and lions, I mean, it's expensive to feed those things.
Yeah, they're feeding them the food from Walmart or whatever, the fucking expired meat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, I mean
it would be cool to have an elephant. You're just walking around just on an elephant, just
that's
going
true.
Through the neighborhood.
Yeah, I guess. I do like, because an elephant is not to be fucked with either, but a polar bear is a fucking, I mean, literally, although, are they a danger to other people? That's the other thing you got to consider. Yeah, they're not a danger to you, but if you're walking around with a lion or a tiger, they'll just fucking grab somebody and eat them.
No, you control it.
Okay.
You can just say, like, don't harm anybody, unless you, like, say the magic word.
Yeah, I'm going polar bear.
Really, Robbie?
I don't know. I like cats.
So you want a
cat? Just want a regular cat.
I would like a cheetah.
Okay. Yeah, I would go with the cat family, too. I'm probably going to get a tiger.
Yeah, the tiger.
Like the tiger king.
By the way, do you read if a tiger and a lion, they get into a fight, a tiger just fucking destroys a lion? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
You know what we watched, though, this week? The Other Guys was on, that movie with Will Ferrell and...
right, and Marky Mark.
Marky Mark, yeah. But it's not a good movie, but there's like three or four really funny scenes. Have you seen the scene where the tuna versus the lion?
No.
Look it up on YouTube. It's vintage Will Ferrell.
By the way, I've seen the movie, but it was so unmemorable that because I remember, wasn't it Samuel L. Jackson and The Rock in the beginning of it and they die or whatever?
Exactly.
Yeah, I did. I saw it.
And it's a movie you watch just for a few scenes. You don't want to sit through the whole thing.
But I did. Dude, I've been watching some shit movies. I really have. I don't get to really watch horror movies because Katie doesn't like them. So Katie was downstairs. I'm like, you know what? Let me watch a horror movie. I never watch them. And there's a movie on Netflix called Polaroid. Okay. Now, the premise is if you get your picture taken with this Polaroid camera, you'll die. The Polaroid camera. And by the way, they try to destroy the Polaroid camera. It ends up, it's like Christine. It rebuilds itself, right? And it's so funny because I
love it.
If you talk about the premise of this, by the way, the movie is horrible. It's I couldn't even watch it because I was so fucking bored. Okay. But when you think about the premise, it's as good as any of these fucking premises. The Ring was a fucking VHS tape that if you watch it, you died. Right. What the fuck, right? Well, so that was a real thing. Hey, stop. That's a real scary movie. That's a real scary.
Speaking of that, Tawan and I, I'll let you try to guess it, watched a horror movie that I think the premise actually made sense. Not a good movie, but a fun, bad movie. It's a remake or a reboot, maybe, of a movie I'm sure you've heard of. I'm not sure if you've seen that had at least one or two, maybe three, that came out in the last year or so.
All right, let me think.
Stab at that.
It's a Saul?
No, it wasn't that good of a series.
Pet Sematary.
That's a good guess, but it's not that.
All right, hold on.
There's a somebody in the sports world that has a nickname of the villain in these movies.
Oh, okay. Is it the Nightmare on Elm Street?
A football coach.
Oh, you saw the new Child's Play.
Yes.
What was it called?
I think it's just called Child's Play.
Oh, they just came out with a new Child's Play?
Maybe it's not. But the premise isn't, you know, last time it was like possessed by a demon or something. Now it's just like a doll that can connect Wi-Fi and talk to you and download things. And like the evil manufacturer just put a chip in there that would make it like, like, you know, basically like, you know, you're this 9-year-old and you're saying, oh, this stupid cat, I hate you. And then it just kills the cat because it thinks you hate the cat.
Yes.
Yeah. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, the evil toy maker.
So I will say this. Chucky, I was a little too old to be scared by that. But it's the same idea. Right. The scariest movie of all time, Magic, that Robbie always plays the fucking theme for. That doll wasn't alive. You understand what I'm saying? It had life through Anthony Hopkins, who was the ventriloquist he had multiple personality disorder or whatever. So it could actually happen, but there wasn't a doll that was up killing people. But that always scares me. Like the Annabella and the boy and all stuff. I don't like dolls that come to fucking kill you. I don't like that. But I did enjoy Child's Play when I've seen it. I did like it. I liked Child's Play when I saw the first one, the OG.
Yeah, no, I love the first one, yeah.
And I also liked what Robbie said.
If you're not watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, it's a 10 out of 10 this season, so go back and watch that finale. It was Sunday night. I guess we got to go, but hey, thank you guys for listening. We're going to try to obviously do keep our regular schedule, just do it on Skype. I'll look for my comedy CD, Comedy for the Quarantine, and as far as upcoming murder mysteries and anything comedy related, we'll keep you posted. April, obviously, there's some shows in question, so we'll keep you posted. But good job, gentlemen. Stay safe.
All right, later.
This is for you, Jim.
Dun, 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 dun.
Happy birthday. Who gives a fuck?
See you guys.
All right, see you guys.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.